So we have, we welcome you to our presentation on the art of accompaniment. And as we do all things at the Catholic Apostolate Center, we try to do it collaboratively, which is how this resource developed. And it's the center point of that resource is what became a book, but what it started as a guide and now has become a book as well as a reflection guide and discussion guide. And the people who put together that particular and developed that particular resource are Colleen Campbell and Tom Carani. So Colleen is a collaborator of the Catholic Apostolate Center and a third-year PhD student studying catechetics at the Catholic University of America. You'll see the Catholic University of America theme throughout. I'm a three-time graduate, and we have several people associated with the university. She is the co-author of the Center's new publication, The Art of Accompaniment, Theological, Spiritual, and Practical Elements of Building a More Relational Church. She holds a BA in Pastoral Ministry from the University of Dallas and an MA in Theology from the University of Notre Dame. Tom Carani is the Director of Adult Evangelization at St. Louis King of France Parish in Austin, Texas, where he works to connect individuals with God and one another through catechesis, evangelization, and spiritual accompaniment. He received his BA in Theology from the Catholic University of America and his MA in Theology from the University of Notre Dame through the ECHO Catechetical Leadership Program. Also with us on our panel are Brian Rood and Dr. Susan Timoney. Brian is the project coordinator at the Catholic Apostolate Center. He's also a senior in the School of Theology and Religious Studies at the university and serves at on the USCCB's National Advisory Team for Young Adult Ministry and was one of the delegates, there were only two delegates, from the United States to the post-synod forum after the Synod on Young People, the Faith, and Vocational Discernment that was held in June of 2019. And last but certainly not least is Dr. Susan Timoney. And she is Associate Professor in Pastoral Studies at Catholic University with 25 years experience in parish and diocesan ministry. And she served for a number of years as the Secretary for Pastoral Ministry and Social Concerns for the Archdiocese of Washington. Would you welcome our panel? So we want to start out by diffusing something right from the beginning, and that's, you know, oftentimes people will hear this word accompaniment and they'll think that people are meandering around. They're just kind of, oh, well, they'll kind of make it here or there. And really, that's not what we're talking about. We're really talking about Christ as our center point. So, Colleen, you know, what are we talking about when it comes to accompaniment?
So I think we've all heard this word accompaniment, especially out of the mouth of Pope Francis. We think of it in Amoris Laetitia. We think about it in Evangelii Gaudium. But also, there's such a rich tradition of accompaniment in the Christian tradition itself. So if we think even about Scripture, there are glimpses of accompaniment in Scripture. So we think about the way in which God enters into relationship with his people Israel. And then we explicitly see this in the Gospels, in the ministry of Jesus. And I know such a kind of classic example of accompaniment is the road to Emmaus in Luke 24. And if you haven't read that lately, I invite you to kind of sit with that and especially look through it through the lens of accompaniment. Because in this moment of accompaniment, we see Jesus listen, meet his disciples where they are, sit with them in their confusion and their attempts to make sense of what happened recently in Jerusalem. And they have such a powerful encounter with him, so powerful that it emboldens them to go on mission. And so this is really the inspiration for accompaniment. And so Pope Francis is giving a name to something that's so inherent to our Catholic tradition. So it's really beautiful. And then really too, this tradition of accompaniment is what inspired Tom and I in kind of the naming of what this means in our book, The Art of Accompaniment. So we give this definition of accompaniment, hopefully to just shape this conversation. So we name accompaniment, we have this long definition, so here we go. It's accompaniment is the apostolate of intentional relationship, oriented towards the definitive direction of growth and holiness and transformation in the person of Christ. So again, it's inspired by this this concept that is named by Pope Francis, but also the way in which God relates to his people and the ministry of Jesus. So that's really kind of where we are when we're talking mm-hmm. about this. And of course, accompaniment is a broad term, and it just kind of characterizes this apostolate of relationship between two or more people who share reciprocity and mutuality in the Christian life.
Great, thank you. And so, Brian, you were in Rome during the Synod on Young People, the Faith and Vocational Discernment. You were reporting back for Catholic Apostolate Center. You're taking a semester there from the university. And then in the summer, you were part of the post-Synod. Now, after that was Christus Vivit, the apostolic exhortation to young people came out at that time. So what's the context of some of this around that all those discussions at the Synod, the post-Synod, and in Christus Vivit?
Yeah, I think it's important to understand what the Synod process is. I mean, the Synod was established in 1965 by Pope St. Paul VI as a way to continue this this way of dialogue and of conversation that happened at the Second Vatican Council. So the Synod, the 2018 Synod, was made up of three parts. And I call it tripartite, but it's also ever-living. The Synod kind of never ends, and that's something that was highlighted there. So it started with the pre-Synod gathering, which happened in March, and about 300 young people from around the world gathered in Rome. Then in October, from the 3rd to the 28th, the Synod itself occurred in Rome. Delegates from bishops' conferences around the world, heads of religious orders, gathered to discuss what had been said about these topics of young people, the faith and vocational discernment, at the pre-Synod gathering, all centered around the Instrumentum Laboris, the working document. The important thing there is that there were young people present at the Synod. So this wasn't just a bunch of old clerics talking about young people, right? Young people were there, including the Archdiocese of Washington's Jonathan Lewis, who was one of the Synod auditors. And then when I was in Rome this past June, it was for the post-Synod forum, as Father had mentioned, and that was about 275 young people from around the world who represented different movements as well as Episcopal conferences. Where we gathered and talked. As Father said, Christus Vivit had been out at that point. So we were really gathering around, well, what is the reception of Christus Vivit? How is that going? What is the world saying about this? And the important thing is that from the pre-Synod to the Synod to the post, accompaniment came up time and time again. In the pre-Synod document, in the 10th paragraph, it says that young people are looking for companions on the journey. Remember, this is coming from young people themselves. People who are living testimonies to witness, people who evangelize by their life, right? So it's when we're looking for those who can accompany, it's not just words, it's mm-hmm. deeds. That's what young people are looking for. In the final document that came out of the Synod, right, it pointed us that the term accompany, the word accompany, its etymology comes from the Latin cum pane, right, the breaking of bread. So when we think about the road to Emmaus, as Colleen said, the disciples recognized Christ when? In the breaking of the bread. That's what it means to accompany, but also called us to remember that the whole community is called to accompany. This isn't simply an individual thing. It's not a one-off thing, mm-hmm. that we're called to form communities of accompaniment. And then at the post-Synod forum, everyone I talked to, yes, we love accompaniment. We love this language. We love what the Holy Father is saying. But what is it, and how do we do it? Those were the big questions, so it's an important conversation that we're having.
And I think that leads us right into what Susan's going to share with us about. You know, so what are some of the ways in which the parishes, apostolates, individuals can, you know, have these intentional relationships of accompaniment?
I've been really struck this morning that it's not been difficult for people to recognize who in their life accompanied mm-hmm. them, to recognize that very personal relationship. I think the challenging part of accompaniment for many of us gathered here who are involved in ministry is to think a little bit about the environment that nurtures accompaniment, particularly accompaniment within a community and accompaniment in a more personal way. And our environments in ministry are often heavily focused around activities and programming. And they're important, but sometimes we get caught up in the, do we have everything we need? Are we staying on time? Are people learning? And so I think the challenge for me, as I think about what an environment for accompaniment looks like, is to ask ourselves, is less more? Or are we building into those experiences time for sharing, for being able to get to know one another's faith journeys, for being able to develop these kind of relationships that sustain the practice of the faith, that sustain this walking as disciples beyond this individual program. Mm-hmm. And I know from my own experience, we're much more comfortable inviting people to something specific. And so how do we invite people sometimes simply to an experience of accompaniment? It raises, I think, lots of possibilities, but it really does invite us to think seriously about the environment in which accompaniment is nurtured.
So one of those environments is the parish. And Tom, you're a lay ecclesial minister, ministering in a parish. Many of the people here are involved in parish ministry. So what does this look like?
Right, yeah, it is easy to talk about accompaniment sort of as a theory, but then it's like, okay, how do we do this, right? My friends who work in parishes, we know it's like boots on the ground. How do we get this done? I think accompaniment fits really well in the parish just for the reasons that you're talking about, Dr. Timoney. I'm going to echo our Pope and our bishops and say the parish is where the church lives. The parish is where the church lives. It's where our faith and our life, these two things that you mentioned this morning, Father, that we tend to separate, it's where those two things come together. Working in a parish, I experience every day conversions, right? People coming for baptism, people coming to be married, people coming because they've experienced a loss and they have big questions. And so the parish, we believe, is the first place where accompaniment should be done really, really well. The parish is the house, a house of formation. And so if we learn how to do it well in our parishes, if we accompany one another, our parishioners, our fellow staff members, our clergy, if we accompany one another well in our parishes, then we can be sent out. Then we can go into our parishioners can go into workplaces, their families, wherever they go, wherever they find themselves, and they can bring the gospel there. They can accompany people there. So I think the parish is where we really learn to do it well. And a benefit to accompanying in the parish is what we just heard, this intergenerational aspect of parish life. I can think of very few places in my life as a young person where I can sit across the table from a 70-year-old man and we can share experiences at a men's ministry event, right? Very few places in my life where I can accompany and be accompanied by people very different than me, different ages than me, very different experiences from me. But I agree, it's difficult to take it out of a programmatic format and make it a little more of a free-flowing apostolate.
Great. So this is all good in theory, and Tom was making this a bit more concrete, but many here probably would want to know, so what are the ways in which a parish, a campus ministry, or an individual can discern how to do spiritual accompaniment?
Well, first, I would say just a willingness to engage in formation for accompaniment. Mm-hmm. We understand accompaniment to be an apostolate. That means that all of the baptized are called to it in some respect. But even though that's true, do we come out the font like really ready to accompany, like really ready made? No. But that's important because in baptism we enter into the church, the family of the church. And so it's important for us, if we feel that call to accompaniment, to engage in formation or intentional training to ensure that when we enter into a relationship with somebody to lead them to Christ, that we don't become an obstacle or a stumbling block to them, and to truly just open ourselves and the relationship to the Holy Spirit and realize that while it's this relationship of the person who accompanies and the one who is accompanied, ultimately it's the Holy Spirit who is forming in this relationship.
I think, too, it's leaving that time and space to build those relationships. So as you're welcoming people to an event or to an activity and you ask them, how are they, that you're ready to be able to listen and then to respond in a more meaningful way than, hey, great to see you. Mm-hmm. And so it's allowing that time for conversations that enable you then to enter into relationship.
And there's an intentionality that's associated with it. And Brian, what do you think about that part?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's key when we're talking about accompaniment as an apostolate. That this, it is something that we're all called to by nature of our baptism, but it's also not something that we can be blasé about. You know, mm-hmm. you know, when Colleen talks about formation, that's an important part. It requires intentionality, I think, in a few ways. It requires patience and intentionality with that patience of understanding that accompaniment is in and itself a journey. I mean, you look when we, the road to Emmaus, you know, it's whatever, how many, 20 you know, lines. But it occurred over a 2 or 3 mile stretch. Mm-hmm. That's a journey. It's intentional in its mutuality that accompaniment is not the image that we I like to use and Father likes to use as well is, right, the one who accompanies is not a pitcher to fill the empty cup of the one who is accompanied. Mm-hmm. So regardless of whether you're on a college campus, whether you're in a parish, whether you're a Catholic organization, to engage in accompaniment is not to say that I am going to give everything to you and then you will be ready. Mm-hmm. That's not accompaniment, mm-hmm. right? But also that the one accompanied doesn't engage in accompaniment to seek to become some sort of clone of the one who is accompanying them. There is that mutuality that we can learn and grow from each other. I want to again highlight what Colleen said on formation, and that's something that we have to be intentional about. It's not just the one who is accompanying that should be undergoing formation, pastoral formation, theological formation, human formation, but also the one who is being accompanied. It's a call to growth in holiness and growth on this journey to Christ, and that can't be a one-sided effort. It requires that mutuality and formation in that desire to strive towards holiness. So we have to be really intentional about our motives, mm-hmm. about our methods, and about how we're going to approach accompaniment so it's not just that kind of pie-in-the-sky idea that we're talking about as a niceness, but with no concrete, no tangible aspects.
And the context of prayer can help to keep this in a very central aspect, Susan, right?
Absolutely. If part of accompaniment is the way of discipleship, then we discern what it means to be a disciple and to be called in the practice of prayer. And so any experience ought to include prayer as part of that, as part of that process of coming to know what the Lord is asking of me and what he's asking of this particular group of disciples mm-hmm. and followers.
And then and you had mentioned a little earlier, Tom, about the kind of the change in the way in which we may do business, you know, we not doing business as usual, so an ethos shift.
Right. My least favorite phrase in all of church work and all of ministry is, well, we've always done it this way, right? Mm-hmm. Maybe you've heard that before. And so I think that as parish leaders or as teachers or wherever, whatever community that we're a part of, it's our responsibility as leaders to engage in a perspective shift. And to say, okay, I'm going to come out from behind my desk, come out from my office, right, behind the stacks of papers and all the things. What do people who come to my parish, to this school, what do teachers at our school, what do seminarians at our formation, like, what do they experience? What are they coming here with? When I started working at my parish, I was sort of just taking a wait-and-see approach at the beginning, and I noticed we're in the heart of Austin. And Austin is booming, right? Austin's growing, and so we're blessed to have new families coming, multiple families coming into our parish every week. It seems like there's a new big family coming to our parish. But I noticed that when we were receiving these new parishioners, these new members, we would say, hi, welcome to our parish. What can you do for us? would you like to be a lector? Would you like to, and all these things are important, of course. We need to do these things, we need to serve. But I addressed our leadership team, and I was like, we should be saying, welcome, how can we serve you? What do you need, right? Mm-hmm. And so we did this perspective shift, and it led to a paradigm shift. So now when we welcome people, there's options, right? We say, what do you want to get involved in? We plug people into retreat ministries. We make people make connections. We have people build relationships. And then from there, they're like, man, this parish is amazing. I want to serve here, right? I want to do everything here. I want to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ to everyone I meet. So I think that, and that goes for, this perspective shift goes for everything, right? This programs and processes, putting people over all of those. It takes a lot of work, a lot of prayer, and a lot of discernment. And I also want to mention that it doesn't just happen in parishes. In the book and in our resources, we emphasize several communities where accompaniment can take deep root and be very fruitful.
Great, thank you. So before we enter into some questions, we do have the book is available, as well as a discussion and reflection guide. You're welcome to continue our conversation through those doors and halfway down to our Catholic Apostolate Center booth for a meet and greet. We have coffee and brownies and other things there, so feel free to join us. You received a card when you registered and in your bag, and just go to catholicapostolatecenter.org/accompaniment. And also go and see our resources. We have a number of resources at no cost. This is a ministry of the Palatine Fathers and Brothers of the Immaculate Conception Province. We have over 100 years of tradition here in Baltimore, serving here in the city. And this is part of our ministry. We're 2,400 in 56 countries. And St. Vincent Pallotti believed that everybody is called to be an apostle. And so our work is to assist the church in doing just that, to be apostles or missionary disciples. So we'd like to take a couple of questions. We have a little bit of time for questions. Lights have gone up, and here we go. Any questions or comments for our panel? There's people right here coming up with, sir, and they have a microphone for you. There we go.
My name is Bill Krauts. I'm a volunteer youth minister with a parish. And when I first started this 6 years ago, somebody said something that has resonated with me to this day, and it so matches what you're talking about. And they said, when you're dealing with youth, they don't care what you believe until they believe you care. And I'd like to have you maybe talk a little bit about that, especially in youth ministry, which is really a very difficult field because there's so much fear about youth engagement, that we've seeded a lot of the areas where the youth live in social media, in schools, and so there's an effort to try to make that connection and show them you care while operating within the parameters of everybody's concerns.
Okay. Yeah, Susan.
I remember reading in a how-to guide for Catholic education, and particularly teaching with undergrads, that no matter the size of the class, try to get to know the students' names, that communicates this very thing, interesting and caring. And so I think in the context of parish ministry, even in large groups, that ability to call one another by name is the beginning, right, of that kind of relationship.
Anyone else?
Right. Yeah, that that was kind of what you just said was scary to hear, because that sounded like Dr. Bob McCarty was whispering that through you, and I took his class last year, so that gave me a shiver. It requires us to really think about the role of witness, in that you're right. You know, you can shove church teaching down someone's throat. Matt Maher says you can hit someone over the head with a Bible as much as you want, right? But that doesn't mean they're going to internalize that. It doesn't mean they're going to care about it. And this was big for St. Vincent Pallotti as well, right? That the Christian life is one of actions and deeds, not daydreams and words, and that we need to live our actions well. But that also requires honesty, especially with young people, especially with youth, who are so impressionable, who are going to look at what we do and oftentimes will kind of idolize a minister, depending on their age and, of course, their individual circumstances. But to be able to live your life honestly, humbly, and to be able to use our mistakes as experiences to learn from and share that with young people, that we don't give them this view that the Christian life is one of perfection, because that will tumble down immediately. it's unsustainable. But to say, I'm going to live my life, I'm going to do my best to show you with my deeds the life of Christ that I've pursued, but also in those moments that I've fallen, in the moments that I show my sin, that we learn from those and we walk together on that journey.
Great. Another question? We have one right back here. Yes.
Yes. Is this way of thinking and orientation for presentation of our faith being taught to the priests and parish ministries so that it trickles down to the ones that have to communicate in this new way to the people? It's hard for us getting this new information and taking it back, and they don't know that this is what's new and coming for us to integrate it into the life that, you know, we're excited, but if the priests don't know anything about it, they're not going to be excited.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
I've got a comment on that too, but go ahead.
Absolutely. So I would say I hope that they are, you know, listening. I hope that they stop by our booth right outside, and we'd be happy to give them a book and maybe talk further. And it's all goes back to formation, too, even of priests. But also, too, I think as lay people, as a laywoman myself, I think we're so gifted and privileged with the lay vocation. The church talks about the lay vocation as renewing the temporal order. So we have a special gift in our everyday lives that maybe priests and religious don't necessarily have. And so I think one of those great gifts that we can give the church is to model this relationship of accompaniment. And so even if the priests aren't reading about it, they're seeing it, right? In the way that we treat the people we serve in our parishes, and also the way that we carry out our ministry among our parish staffs, or Catholic colleges, or campus ministries, anything like that. So it all goes back to witness, right? So we're witnessing to the people that we're serving, but we're also being that witness for the people who are probably in charge of us for our jobs or, you know, for our parishes. So just all goes back to witness.
Tom?
Yeah, I think working closely with priests, I love every priest, love him to death. But I think that new ideas, especially when you're like breaking the mold, right? When you're trying something new, I think it rightly makes people nervous, right? Because they're like, it's going to be messy. Mm-hmm. But that's what Pope Francis has asked us to do. Go make a mess, mm-hmm. right? To empower lay people, not to take a priest's position or anything like that, but to do the work in collaboration with him, with the deacons. So I think if you bring it to Father and he's like, just be like, I want to help you, right? I want to partner in this mission with you. So we'll be praying for all of your conversations with your pastors, for sure.
I think also it really is a call to co-responsibility. Yes. Because the priest as spiritual father is called to accompany. And they accompany people in spiritual direction. They accompany people in confession. And so I hope what we're being able to say is, hey, now let's be able, in working together, to make sure that our priests have the time that they need to accompany people across parish programs. So I think it's part of why they chose to be ordained and the way in which they want to relate to people. But it's going to take a shared growth in our sense of the responsibility we have in our places of ministry to enable us to do it according to our vocation.
Yeah, just thinking about what Tom said, this isn't an answer to your question, but it's at least something for us to think about. I don't have an answer to your question. Mr. Mark Ardozzi lectured to us for a day in Father Frank Donio's class at the Catholic University of America. We were talking about that phrase, right, that this is how we've always done things. And that can be a response you get when we talk about accompaniment, right? That's not something we do here. And for me, whenever I've heard that phrase, my instant reaction is, well, that's stupid. But Mr. Ardozzi said this. He said, our response should be, but is that what gives life to our parish, to our school, to our organization? And so when we're met with that, that's how we, I think, especially with our pastors, right, those who are accompanying us in our ministry, that we can say, or to anyone around who maybe isn't open to a new movement of the Spirit, but is that what's giving life to our community? Because that's the goal. that life that we were given in baptism, that life we receive in the Eucharist, how do we go out and share that? So is what we're doing here giving life to our parish and allowing others to share that life? And maybe that's a way we can start a new conversation to get over those humps.
So as a guy with a collar, I'll give a final response to this thing. There is an official document of the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops called Living as Missionary Disciples, a Resource for Evangelization. Just go to catholicapostolatecenter.org/LMD and you will find all sorts of resources. And we'll have 12 videos coming out with the USCCB breaking apart that document. There is a fourfold methodology of Christ. We encounter Christ, we're accompanied, we are in community, and we are sent from that community and returned to that community. But that second one, accompaniment, is so critically important because many people will encounter Christ, they'll come to the church, or they will come to someone who is a person of faith, and then they are not accompanied. Or they're accompanied for a time, like in RCIA, and then we say, have a nice life in the parish. We need to have that as a continual part of who and what we are about. One final question, and then we'll have to close if there's another one here. Right here, how about right here?
So I'm a ministry head at a military chapel, and so this accompaniment is like close to my heart because we serve a very large community of active duty service members and retirees. And the accompaniment sometimes doesn't coexist well. So if you can offer any tips, like I love that older generation, the younger generation, that's like right, like my heart space. But reaching our younger members, like 18, 19, 20, is hard. So if you can offer any advice on how we can reach them, that would be amazing. Thank you.
Yes, and that's a very tremendous ministry that AMS engages in all around the world, the largest archdiocese in the world. Anyone have something to say about that?
In various of his writings, Pope Francis reminds us that accompaniment doesn't just happen within the spiritual sphere. That he says in Christus Vivit that accompaniment is important in that it helps prepare people, especially young people, just for life, for their experience and action in the civil life, in the civic circle, in their service to others. So, but I think, you know, when you're talking about young people, especially 18, 19, 20, who maybe aren't open to accompaniment as accompaniment as this thing about Jesus, right? That you break, you kind of knock on the door in a different way, a way that's still aiming for that. But you find the things in their life that they're searching for that presence. And it's not necessarily, where is God in your life? But how do we find ways to kind of knock on the door, to get our foot in the door, and then eventually find ways where the Spirit prompts to then begin to introduce Christ? But it doesn't have to start there because accompaniment isn't limited to the spiritual life. Accompaniment is that which allows us as Christians, as children of God, to find the ways to best actualize our call to holiness.
Tom, and then Colleen.
Yeah, something that when you were speaking, I sort of thought about was what you're saying, Brian, is that accompaniment doesn't have to be this very intentional conversation that's right. It's it can also look like, hey, I'm here for you if you need it. Letting our young people know that we're here if you need us. I think there's something very comforting in that, whether they take us up on that offer or not. It's like in the gospel today. I don't know how the seeds are planted, but at some point they bear fruit, right? Over time, they bear fruit. So, Colleen.
I had a professor in undergrad who said something to me that has stuck with me ever since. She said that the work of a pastoral minister is to start every morning with your Bible in one hand and the newspaper in another. So maybe these days would be like Twitter or social media or something. But just this idea of we have to be engaged in the world. We have to be engaged in what's going on. And I think that's a great start
for reaching young people because they are engaged in the world. And so I think even if you just start with talking about what's going on, talking about things that aren't explicitly about faith, just starting to build that relationship. And even when you're building that relationship, learning to speak the language of young people. So maybe learn about what music they're listening to. Maybe learn about what shows are important to them or things like that. Just really learn to speak their language and kind of enter into that experience of what a young person, you know, is going through. So that's, I think, what I would add.
Well, thank you for coming and being a part of this session. Thank you, Colleen, Brian, Susan, and Tom. We really appreciate all of your insights. Join us at our booth to continue the conversation. Thank you, and may the charity of Christ urge us on.